I'm sorry, I've been out for a while. What am I supposed to do? It's 6:09. Hi, everybody. It's Steve Cochran. Is there something not turned on in here? All right, get ready. In 3, 2, 1.
No place to go, darling.
FLAWLESS, flawless, spell it, know it, that's me. Hi, 6:09. Just back from an ancient European city.
Welcome. Welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you.
Are you awake?
You know, sort of. A little punchy. Got back about 10:30, I guess, last night.
Oh, my gosh. It's late.
Didn't sleep long, but then there was a period of between the time you leave, and everybody knows this when you go on vacation. Between the time you leave and the time you get home, you go out to sleep on the plane or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not
Never
so much.
Do.
Yeah. Not so much. So maybe an hour of sleep out of 22, and then, you know, weird food collections and things. It was a great trip. I mean, the people could not have been nicer. I have a list of the listeners, and I'm going to do about 10 minutes on each one of them. That's how nice they were. Really, really nice people.
It looks beautiful there. Oh, my God.
Incredibly beautiful country. And you can do it in 2 or 3 or 4 days max.
Wow. The whole country.
The whole country, from one end to the other.
Wow.
That's why the Germans were so successful early.
It's a lot of walking for you.
We did do a lot of walking. You know, if you're a step counter, I don't know, probably 15, 20,000 steps a day.
I hope you had your Fitbit on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because that's the end of the day. You go, look what I did today.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'd highly recommend it, and I'll tell you more about that a little bit later. Dave.
I think we all have one burning question for you.
Yes?
Your flight over.
Uh-huh.
Was there a baby nearby, and did the person in front of you try to recline their seat?
Yes!
There were no babies on board. There were a couple small children.
Mm-hmm.
Or was that me? It could have been me. and nobody tried to recline their seat. Several people brought it up. That was almost like it's almost like they're betting amongst themselves. Like they were looking at the person in front of me. Would they put their seat back? They weren't in our group, you know, various flights. Because we flew to London and then connected to Prague in reverse on the way home. And so, no, it didn't happen. At one point, a dude sitting in front of me, this is on a long flight yesterday. I don't know. It's like 9.5 hours or something back. Or maybe it's 8.5. Doesn't matter at that point. And the person in front of me stood up. And, you know, you're on a long flight. You sit up. You're going to lean, right? You're leaning into your chair or whatever. But instinctively, the chair started to come back a little bit. And I gave it a forearm shiver. Scared the hell out of the guy. Because I just thought, oh, no, he's coming back.
Now, were the people sitting around you people that were flying with you for the trip?
Yeah, most of the time.
Okay. Oh, wow. So you were sitting with the fans of the show.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, the people were fantastic. We had a couple cool things, too. We had an anniversary, a wedding anniversary. I think it was 44 years.
Wow.
A wife who bought her husband this is a birthday gift. He's not 80 yet, but he's turning 80 this year, and it was a birthday gift for them.
You were the birthday gift.
Cool.
Well, no, I was the point that they didn't want to talk about.
Did you redo their vows for them?
Yeah, I should have offered that. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, use your skills.
I could have done it in Czech. lots to do today, as you might guess. We got a kid of the week coming up, of course, because it's Tuesday. My friend Paul Coit's going to check in later. I had this great plan. I was going to see Paul, our British bureau chief, in London, at Heathrow in London. I mean, how hard could that be? We're there like 4 hours. Turned out we were there 5.5 hours. And I couldn't get through BA security. Here's a tip I didn't know. If you are connecting on British Airways, it could be different for other airways, I'm told. You need at least 6 hours to go see someone in the front of the airport in departures.
Really? So do you have to collect your luggage and then?
No.
But
they won't let you out. They'll go, oh, no. Or in there, actually, they have the queen there. You can't leave.
Of course.
I was wondering if you saw her.
So I didn't get a chance to see Paul, but he's going to be on today. Because that Brexit thing is ugly as ever, and it's kind of a battle now. Which politicians are more loony, ours or theirs? And Paul will be on later talking about that.
So you didn't,
and also the Bears game on Sunday night was at his stadium.
I was going to ask you if the Bears were on your flight from London here.
I didn't see any of the Bears. Saw a lot of Bear fans.
Mm-hmm.
They
had a charter, so
the Bears should have walked.
Yeah,
based on the last 5 minutes of that game. We actually took over, and when I say we, I mean other people, mm-hmm. Took over the basement of an Irish bar in Prague. And we had, you know, I don't know, 50 Bear fans going nuts watching the game.
So wait a minute. So a bunch of Americans in an Irish bar in the Czech Republic watching a game from England.
See, now.
No, this was actually still in Prague. Sunday night was still in Prague.
Yeah, but so it's an Irish bar in the Czech Republic watching a bunch of Americans play football in England.
Yeah, what you said. Yeah, exactly what you said.
I would have loved that. That sounds like a party.
Yeah, it really does.
And the Blackhawks, we'll talk about all this later, but the Blackhawks are going to be just fine. If you're still in panic mode, there's a lot of reasons it didn't go well. Some of them are explainable, some not so much. The NHL has to explain why they had two hats. And I think a banner or something. I mean, they completely ran out of gear in the first period of the game.
What?
Yeah, nobody could buy anything.
Really?
As a matter of fact, I will reveal this because I can't give you your gifts today because some had to be shipped. That's how huge they are.
That's why we came to work.
No. He's ordering them tonight from the online
from
airport store.
Oh, no, they're on. Trust me when I say this. I considered buying you all crap from Heathrow because I didn't want to carry anything. And then I thought, well, I still have to get home from Heathrow. But Joe, who didn't ask for anything, I wanted to get Joe something, and I thought, well, how easy is this? I'll just get him some cool Hawks thing from the Global Series, right?
What a guy.
Wow. Hawks, yeah. Flyers. Mm-hmm. It's been so great. Gone. Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Oh, man.
The NHL seriously screwed up, and it's not a big secret the Blackhawks are popular.
Right.
But it was my words, not the Blackhawk words. The only way the NHL controlled the event, the only way that the gear that fans wanted to buy wouldn't have been available is because the NHL wasn't ready.
I do remember Super Joyce saying something about hockey pucks and beer, but I think those two things are hard.
Oh, they had pucks. That's the weird part. They had pucks and a couple of hats. And they had the weird, like, winter hats with the things, the strings that come down.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, that's a hot look for me.
Oh, Joe would look cute in that.
Yeah. So anyway, Joe. Yeah,
look cute in anything, you know that.
So anyway, Joe, you have Blackhawks gear coming. It's probably just a regular Blackhawks gear, but you have something coming. So. And Steve, I know you didn't want anything, but I got you something as well.
Did you give me the goulash that I wanted?
Bring
back the freeze-dried goulash?
Here's the deal. You can't mail goulash. Turns out it's illegal and really, really messy.
Mm.
All right, so let's do this. Top six at six. And you want to do? Oh, let's do this second break. We'll do that coming up in just a second.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
And item number one is President Trump facing a slapback from Republicans now. Republican criticism yesterday got heavier as lawmakers said, no, your plan to withdraw troops from northeastern Syria is a move to make things easier for Turkey, and making things easier for Turkey supports the Soviet agenda, the Turkish agenda, and the agenda of Assad in Syria, and it's all bad. At this point, no change in the plan, though apparently none of the people that should have been involved were consulted. It would undermine U.S. national security, of course, because it gives a home office to ISIS again. Not that Russia has any upside having ISIS growing again. But we saw what happened when similar circumstances occurred and two-thirds of Iraq went away and all of the blood and treasure we had to spend to get it back. An associated item with Trump this morning. This poll is hideously ugly for the president for next year. 49%. That's everybody now. We're talking about combining everybody. Obviously, it's mostly Democrats and independents. But 49% now say not only impeach him, remove him from office. That's a bad number if you're the president of the United States. 58% are approving the impeachment inquiry, again, including everybody. 38% say no. So that's a 20-point gap. That's all bad. And the Twitter tantrums are not helping. So there you go. That's item number one. Next, Walgreens announced Monday it'll stop selling e-cigarettes. Good for them. I guess I'm the only one that thinks that's a good idea. It's a sitting ovation. The move comes on the heels of growing scrutiny of the industry following a series of vaping-related illnesses and deaths. They posted two sentences on the website about the measure, saying, "We've made the decision to stop selling e-cigarette products for our stores nationwide as the CDC, FDA, and other health officials continue to examine the issue." Didn't CVS stop selling cigarettes a year ago? Or did they do e-cigarettes? I feel like, oh, maybe it's chewing tobacco.
They've all, you know, Walmart, CVS, Walgreens, they've all stopped selling these e-cigarettes now.
I felt like CVS did something extra.
They did something with their cigarettes. I can't remember exactly what it is. And by the way, there are now 1,100 of these cases of vaping illness and 18 deaths nationwide.
Next, Sears has agreed to set aside $3 million to compensate the beneficiaries of retired employees who died after the bankrupt retailer canceled their insurance benefits in March. Listen, Sears is broke. This is an awful story. What do you say about that? I mean, $3 million in 2019 money is probably not going to get this done. Next, Uber unveiled its Uber Works app. Does anybody know what this is?
No.
It's
a service that matches workers to available shifts in a variety of workplaces. So, in other words, you're a freelance worker.
Yeah.
They're going to throw out these jobs. Anybody want this job, that job, this job? And you pop on and you take it.
It's like an online temporary, like a temp agency.
That's a great way of putting it.
Yeah.
Didn't we already have a temp agency? Aren't there already?
I think this makes it so user-friendly, and the interface is something that's easy for people to, you know, access and use, you know, in a way that it's easy for them, as easy as driving Uber, you know.
But how do you, if you're an employer and you sign up for this, how do you know you're not getting a complete chucklehead walking into your business?
But you never know that anyway.
But in the interview process or whatever, you could at least find out if they have any skills that match things. Let's say it's a temporary neurosurgeon who's going to come in.
I don't think they have that category on the Uber
and
app.
Something tells me they're going to be doing pre-interviews with people before you're approved to be part of this, just like a driver.
But then, you would think, right?
Let's hope.
The app will take care of the, you know, the background check and those other things. I'm imagining that it's mostly jobs that, you know, like maybe there needs a... A company needs a driver, or you know, that sort of type of thing.
I think this would be fun. We should sign up for it, and one of us should do like a different job every day.
That's a good idea.
Report from there.
It's a very good idea.
Oh my goodness!
But you have to be an Uber driver to sign up for this.
No. You just want to work.
Yeah.
So anybody.
Anybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't have to drive. Okay. Helpful texters. CVS stopped selling cigarettes and all tobacco products 2 years ago, or about 2 years ago.
Yeah, I think like in 2017, yeah.
Next, the McRib season begins a little early in Chicago this year. You know what I like? I like the pumpkin spice McRib this time of year. It's very, very tasty.
That's Dave's favorite.
It's a very autumn feel.
Uh-huh. The McRib's back for a limited time this week. 10,000 U.S. McDonald's restaurants. And somebody said McDonald's is doing chicken biscuits in the morning now? Have you heard that?
Biscuits and, I believe, chicken McMuffins or chicken McGriddles.
Ah.
It's the two like, McGriddle cakes and then a chicken breast.
So it's like chicken and waffles.
So no sausage. Kind of.
Yes.
But you remember my question. Is it chicken or is it a biscuit?
It's both. They're not biscuits made out of the actual chicken.
Okay, but I was
They're
confused.
Made out of the chicken meat. Last year's limited run began in late October to find the closest participating restaurants. Enter your zip code at mcdfinder.com. Let me tell you something. If you need a website or an app to find a McDonald's, you are not getting out of the house enough. Next, last one here. Parents who are sick of being treated like a free taxi service to their kids can now charge them in chore time thanks to a new app. It tracks the miles completed like a real taxi meter, and allows the owner to make domestic tasks works a certain amount of travel time. The app, it's called Skoda Parent Taxi, S-K-O-D-A, can also send a receipt straight to a child's phone and remind them what they owe. That's a pretty cool idea. Just for the entertainment value of it.
Well, isn't it really the parents who are making the kids do all these activities anyway?
Yeah,
They're scheduling all the activities, so they should have to drive them.
Yeah, there is that.
Kind of goofy.
Yeah, and you could also say, maybe tell them, well, I'm not going to drive you because we have to do this or we have to do that. I don't know. I'm still amused by it.
Or go mow the lawn and I'll drive you.
I
just
like
do
it.
That.
I enjoy it.
That's your top six at six.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
We'll get the news here in just a second, and then we'll come back with Kid of the Week in just a moment. And several complimentary texts about Mary Vandeveld, who I believe are mostly coming from her. Now, how old are you?
I am 10 years old.
14.
8. 12.
I'm 18.
I'm 10 years old.
What grade are you in or about to go into?
I'm a senior.
8th grade.
Sophomore year.
Just finished junior year, so yes, I'm a senior.
I'm in 4th.
What do you do for fun?
I love art. Art is my favorite.
I do soccer, basketball, cheerleading, tennis, baseball.
I like to play on a trampoline, and I love to make slime.
I act in plays, and I sing all the time.
I also write stories because I love writing.
I play tennis. I also like to play soccer with my best buddy, but I'm not. On a team.
Listen, you're a great kid. What do you want to be when you grow up?
I'm still figuring it out.
Pediatric oncologist.
I really want to be a marine biologist.
I'm not really sure yet, but I'm looking into biomechanical engineering.
I want to be an orthodontist because you can help kids feel better at their smile.
Will you run for president someday?
I want to.
Are you excited to be on the show?
Yeah.
You sound super excited. Have you ever been more excited than this?
Yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, that's cool. We got Kids of the Week live in studio. Nicely done here by Vivian and Joe getting this set up, right?
I know.
Normally, we can't coerce these knuckleheads to come up and come into this
hour. They look like they've showered this morning. Their hair looks good. They look bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
That's a disappointment for you, I know, when Dave and I come in unshowered.
Yeah.
It's Kid of the Week time, and I want to introduce our three superstars here. Let's start at the opposite end with Anthony Hartman. Anthony!
Hi.
What's up, dude?
Not much.
How old are you?
I'm 10.
10 well, years
I'm
old.
11.
Wait, you don't know?
No.
All right, are you 10 or 11? 11. Are you trying to hide from the law? Why don't you know your age?
Did you just have a birthday?
It was May 20th.
All right, well, it's okay. It's all right. Also here is Philip Baker. Philip, you like Phil? Philip, what do you like?
Anything's fine.
No, you tell me. What do you like? Philip? Philip, okay. Yeah. And how old are you?
I'm 12.
And how old is Anthony?
Anthony is 11.
That's right. That's exactly right. So far, you're a big winner. And Brett Hannafin. Hannafin or Hannafin?
Hannafin.
Hannafin is here. And do you prefer Brett or Brett? Probably Brett?
Yeah.
Yeah. How old are you?
11.
You're a big dude, man. Is there a height in your family? Because you're going to be about 8 feet tall when you quit growing.
My dad's 6'3".
Oh, there you go.
Nice.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. All right, so you guys invented something called scoot knees. Of the three of you, who would you say is a spokesperson? Don't be modest. You're going to go with this?
Yeah.
All right, tell everybody what scoot knees are, because actually our friend Anthony has them on.
Well, scoot knees are like roller skates, but they're for your knees.
All right. So I'm thinking roller skates, roller blades, right?
Yeah.
Because for old people, stop looking at me. For old people, roller skates look a little different. They're a little wider, but these look like roller blades, right? The thin wheels? Thinner wheels?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you put them on your knees, and then what happens?
You try and get a running start, and then you just go on your knees. And
drop your knees.
Yeah.
And go flying.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dave, picture, if you will, because I just got back from Prague, right?
Right.
A European soccer match. Mm-hmm. A goal is scored, and the guy that scores a goal, like, flies across the pitch, the field,
right.
Drops to his knees and slides.
Slides, right.
Except in this case, if he's got scoot knees on, he's going all the way from Prague to Budapest.
That's what I'm thinking.
He's not going to be able to stop.
And I'm also picturing you on these.
Yeah.
You take the running start.
Yeah.
You're on your knees.
Yeah.
And you go do a face plant.
I don't think so. I don't think you have enough faith in me. You're thinking of the part where I dive to my knees and then immediately have to go into the hospital.
Oh, my goodness.
That's the part you're thinking.
Who came up with this idea, guys?
It was me and Brett.
Oh, cool. How did you come up with it?
We were coming from home from hockey one day, and my dad was talking about how he used to do street hockey, and they had these shin pads where you could slide on the ground. And we thought, what if we made that an actual thing and made those rollerblades before your knees?
Scoot knees.
Listen, and so amazing. They actually listened to their father, too. They were listening to his story.
When dads all over, and dads driving to work now, I don't know this, when dads are doing glory days and they're talking about the old days, right? You just nod your head and smile as a kid. And if something good comes out of that, that's great. Other than just patting your dad on the head. Because it's a cool story. And look what it's created. It's created a business for you guys. So can you actually buy these now?
Not yet, but
what if we gave you money? Like we said, we'd like Anthony's. I'm kidding. But you're trying to turn this into something, right, where you could actually sell these?
Yeah.
Okay. Have your friends tried them?
Some of them,
yeah.
I would think once they see you guys do this, they'd want to jump all over it.
I just saw Anthony in the hallway doing it. I tell you, he's fast. It's really fast. How do you stop?
I, like, go on one for, like, a split second and then hop back up to my feet.
Okay.
So yeah, I want to know, do you guys, can you do tricks on them? And then are you going to be able to do other things like play hockey? Like, are you going to do games with these on, too?
Oh, like scootin' hockey. That'd be cool.
Yeah, so you can kind of do, like, street hockey on them. Or, like, do you know what shinny is?
Yeah, sure.
It's, like...
Because you have to have short sticks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you can do maybe tricks on them, but...
But right now, with your moms in the room, you'd like to say you would never do anything to endanger yourselves or others.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Philip, chime in here, man. You were part of the genius behind this.
Yes.
So what's the coolest thing about these?
I think the coolest thing about them is they're really fun, and you can do... like a thousand different things with them. They're not
just finding out more stuff every day.
Yes.
Okay. And Anthony, it seems like you're the test bunny for these. Like you're the guy that's out there doing all this stuff. Are you spending most of your time on these scootinies while these guys watch and make all the money?
So I usually make the scootinies.
Oh. So you're the mad scientist too.
Yeah.
And when you say make them, what do you do?
So, like, the first time we made them, the first prototype, it took, like, maybe 2 or 3 hours to make because we didn't have, like, a clear idea of what to do. So
we're going to have to get those production times down, by the way, but that's another meeting. So you take parts of rollerblades as they exist, or do you order the separate parts?
Yeah, parts of rollerblades as they exist.
Okay. Dave, I'm going to go to you on this.
Well, I think you... These guys ought to go on Shark Tank. I mean, have you thought about that? Have you talked that over?
You guys know what Shark Tank is?
Yeah.
There's a kid version of that, isn't there? Or there was.
There was.
They did try. Yeah. But yeah, you guys could be sitting on a gold mine.
Yeah. You need a business plan.
Yeah. So we've talked about it, and we did our Winnetka one. It was called the Winnetka Idea Tank.
Mm-hmm. Oh, neat. Cool. Yeah.
And we won that.
Nice.
There you go.
Nice. All right. Well, here's what I want to do. We got a break for traffic when we come back. Jay, I'd like you to do some live reporting. Okay? So I want you to go to the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a microphone set up in the hallway, but go to the hallway because we've got this cool building here in the 18th floor in particular. And you do, and Dave, you go out there too. And you guys go out there and do a live play-by-play and commentary of how we're doing with Anthony on the scootinies.
Okay, won't we need a microphone?
No, I'm saying on the phone. You probably have to call into the phone. Literally, this is what will happen.
What's the number?
If we can't hook this up with a microphone quickly enough, at the other side of the break, we're going to use you guys on your cell phones to call a satellite in outer space to beam back down here so we can talk to you when you're literally 25 feet from me.
That sounds great.
Yeah. I am super stoked. Can't wait to see these live
demonstration of scootinies. When can people get more information on these? Because there's people right now clamoring. They're just going, I want these. I want them. What are we going to do? Do we have a timeline?
We have a website.
Oh, you do? What is it?
Scootinies.com.
I can't believe that wasn't taken. Scootinies, okay.
Well, it was taken.
What?
It was taken by someone in our, in Winnetka, where we live.
No way. So somebody heard about your product and they held the domain name?
Yep.
Do we know who that creep was?
Yes.
Okay, don't name them. We'll all be part of the litigation. Scootinies and scootinies.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, it's great to meet you guys.
It's great to meet you, too.
You going to school today?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, go. Well, what do you got? You got to, just if you get into trouble because you're late for school, just tell them Mr. Cochran at WGN held us up too long.
Better write him a note.
Mm. I don't think you write notes anymore, do you?
Nah, you send emails.
Yeah, just give me a teacher's cell phones. I'll text them. But out to the hallway with you three. Okay. Unless you have something else, you want to say something else. You want to say hi to anybody? You want to suck up to anybody? You want to tell the favorite teacher how much you love them because you didn't get your papers done? Anything like that? No,
I don't think so.
No,
What's up, everybody?
good. No girls out there that you want to say hi to?
Nope.
Okay. You wouldn't tell me?
That was a quick no.
They're
not
there yet.
Wouldn't tell me if there were. And what about you, Anthony? You're the quiet genius over there. Do you want to add anything?
Not really.
Okay, you just want to get back in the lab. Yeah. All right, guys, to the hallway with you. And we'll come back. Dave, and is it still G, by the way?
Yeah,
who knows? G will be calling this live scrutiny demonstration from the hallway next on 720 WGN. This is your typical scootney music. Joe is a scootney veteran, one of the originators. So, Joe, am I describing this enough so people get this visually? They basically strap rollerblade bottoms, the wheels, whatever that's called, onto your knees. Get a good running start, drop to your knees, and let it go. You're just flying, right?
Yep, find a hill. I think that would help, too. Find a hill.
Yeah, enjoy your knees while you can, kids.
It actually hurts me thinking about doing it.
Yeah, me too.
Is Vivian going to get some video of this as well that we can post?
For sure.
All right, excellent. So let me know when the microphone's set up and we can go there and where I'm going to get it. And we'll start with legendary sportscaster and sports director of WGN, Dave Enick. Good morning, Dave.
Steve, can you hear me? I'm actually in the WGN radio studios and getting ready for this outstanding event. I'm here alongside Jisook Yee. We're live from WGN radio right now.
Yeah, Jisook Yee here, sideline reporter, ready to report.
All right, so are we going to do this from the ramp? There's a ramp of sorts that goes from what amounts to a WGN a kitchenette kind of thing up to where the studios are. Is that the chosen path?
No, we've decided to go for a longer path, Steve, actually in front of the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
It's great. It's not carpeted, so it's a perfect type of surface that will work well with the four wheels. Each knee has about four wheels on each contraption. Pretty amazing.
Let me bring in the experts here and find out, what do you guys think of the track that we have set up here?
I think it's pretty good. It's a pretty good track, I feel like. Not, like, really short.
Right.
And also, there's no carpet that will slow him down.
Right, there's no carpet, so that's the key. So Anthony is ready, Steve.
All right, now, in all the years of you calling the greatest sports events in Chicago, and gee, in all your years of covering extreme sports that we know you from, have you ever seen anything like this?
Nothing like this in particular, because Anthony is the mad scientist that actually put this prototype together, and now he is actually demonstrating how it works.
All right, so whenever you're ready, Dave, take it away.
All right, Anthony, you're all set on the count of three, two, one. Let it rip. And here is Anthony cruising past the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
All I see is a head going by. It's just a head going by.
And he covers the distance in record time, a gold medal performance.
Yeah, but
how are you feeling after that performance? Really good. What sort of method were you using? I saw that there was a little bit of movement with the knees, ins and outs, kind of.
So, like, when you push out, you go forward a little bit more, and when you push back in, you go forward more. So if you keep repeating that, you get faster.
What are your emotions right now?
Happy.
Yeah, I would say top speeds of about 25 miles per hour. What do you think, Dave?
Oh, easy.
And, Dave, was anyone injured during our scootney demonstration?
Well, we won't have the injury report till later in the week, but I think everybody is in one piece.
Definitely lower body.
It's a very, very safe prototype. Now, we don't recommend it for you, Steve, because your knees aren't so good.
Yeah, no, this is not something that's going to catch on in a senior citizen home anytime soon. But for kids, this is beyond cool. You're always looking for something new to do. You're always looking for some way to change up what you have into something even cooler. I think they've really hit on something here.
I think this is great. This looked like so much fun. I really want to do it, but I don't want to take Anthony's scootneys away.
Well, Anthony's scootneys can actually fit Dave, so we're going to do that next, okay?
All right, so if Dave's not in here for the 705 Sports, we'll know that he, in fact, was injured.
I think we're gonna leave well enough alone here. Anthony did great.
All right, so get a team photo. Thank you, guys. Do your sign-off.
Okay, reporting live from outside the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in the hallways of WGN Radio, Ji Soo Ki.
Sideline reporter extraordinaire.
And I'm Dave at WGN Sports.
Well, I mean, that's pretty unique coverage. Super Joe, has there ever been anything done, not just in WGN history, but in radio history involving scoot knees?
No, there's been nothing like that, you know, and I wouldn't contain it to just radio. This is
television
ever on internet,
TV, you name it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're groundbreaking here, but those guys are the real pioneers, right? They're going to be remembered for hundreds of years to come, the scoot knee inventors. Don't you see, like, Anthony, like, they're always going, all right, Anthony, we don't know if this is going to work, because the other two are the bigger kids. We don't know if this is going to work. Slap them on your
just give them a try.
Go for a run.
Here we go. A Velcro.
I'm already thinking about trying scoot forehead, where you would strap rollerblade wheels to my forehead. I would run and dive on my forehead and see how fast I could go.
I'm definitely for that. Yeah. And we'll get multiple cameras.
Be a lot of fun. You're going to need multiple cameras. It's 6:56. We'll come back, news at the top of the hour, and then I'll tell you a little bit about the trip to Prague and the amazing listeners that were along the way and how well David Hochberg behaved. Now, that was a surprise. Also coming up on this program, Dean Richards, of course, with more on entertainment after 8. And then at 8:40 this morning, Paul Coit will join us. Just a quick aside here before we get to the news. But Paul Coit and I have been great friends for, it's got to be 30 years. So Paul lives in London with his lovely family. And I thought, well, this is great. I got a 4-5 hour layover in London at Heathrow. I'll just pop out, say hi to Paul. It'll be great. But I was stopped. And it was sort of like a scene from Love Actually, you know, where Paul's trying to get to me, I'm trying to get to him.
One of my favorite movies!
Yes, and we both have our hands on the window, like touching hands and just weeping openly because we can't actually greet each other.
Is he like doing that thing with the sign, the poster board?
For the sake of the story, yes, he is. All right, Steve's here with the news, and then we will be back. More of the Steve Cochran Show coming next on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Welcome back to the Steve Cochran Show. We've got a lot for you. Steve is just walking into the studio.
He was on his scoot knees.
I thought he fell asleep in the hallway, jet lag.
No, he says he was out there on the scoot knees.
Oh.
Let me get a microphone on. This will make some people laugh, but I have an innate sense of timing. I'll pause for the laughter. But I could literally leave the studio and be back with 30 seconds to go in any newscast. You see it every day.
I've seen it a million times.
I'm outside.
He's absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. I'm outside hanging with these three kid geniuses.
Engaging kid geniuses.
Don't they have to get to school? They're going to be late.
Well, Mrs. Walker actually is a listener, and she texted us. She teaches at least one of them. She said, it's okay. Here's it. Tell Philip that Mrs. Walker says it's okay if he's late.
Oh, now they're going to go out to breakfast.
I mean, these kids are already inventing something. Like, it's okay. Yeah. I feel like they're already on the right track. These are great, intelligent, good-looking, sweet, nice kids.
Nice boys. And they were doing it over lunch. So and one of the moms said, you know, the genius ideas come out of turkey sandwiches. Right?
Oh, yeah. Is it?
So anyway, scootneys.com. All right, a couple things about Prague. First off, it's a beautiful city. I would highly recommend it. And we had a great tour guide, a guy named Peter. I want to make sure I get his last name right. And by the way, Peter, they don't have time to get all the letters in. It's P-E-T-R.
Oh, nice.
Peter Berka.
Peter
Berka.
Did you have to say Peter?
Yeah, Peter. Peter.
Peter.
Peter Berka. But Peter could not have been nicer. And he's written a book called The Xenophobe's Guide to the Czechs. Because I think I have this right. In the last 100 years, or maybe it's 90 years, doesn't really matter, there's been like 8 different countries that have comprised what's now Slovakia the rest of the area that Czechs live in.
But you're not a xenophobe.
No, xenophobe. See, xenophobe is a word, right? Xenophobe is a word that could either mean racist and mean to nationalist or kind of anything in between, right?
Yeah, I mean,
so this
yes.
is this is written with the intent of understanding and getting over your preconceived notion.
Yeah, because you're not scared of anything foreign or strange, like the fear or hatred of what's perceived to be foreign or strange. Right. I mean, because you're already pretty strange, like, well, in a good way. In a good way.
Yeah. So you have your Czech Republic, and you got your Slovakia, and you've got your lovely Czech people. And, mm-hmm. and the people actually very nice. The service folks, not so much.
Were they throwing the goulash at you?
No, there was no throwing of the goulash, so that could be a good sport.
Yeah. It could be.
As I said, a beautiful city, a great walking city. I mean, you got there's two sections, it's broken down into four basic areas, but there's an old town and a new town.
Oh.
The new town, 1300.
Which did you like better?
Well, I just find it amusing that the new town is 700 or 800
still really,
years old.
Yeah, much right? older, yeah.
I liked the whole city. I really did. And from the top of the hill with the castle, and the castle actually comprises, I don't know what they said, 45, 50 acres, walking down the hill across the Charles Bridge, which is the famous bridge there, into the city of Prague itself. It's a great walking city. It's not that hilly. I mean, it's hilly in spots.
You moseyed?
But you can get around.
You moseyed?
I did mosey.
Did you
practice? To the tune of about 15,000 steps a day.
I'm so proud of you.
Did people ride bikes there?
Yeah, you know, some of the, but honestly, I wouldn't do that. I mean, the power bikes are starting to get a little more popular, and they have the Lime scooters that you can rent everywhere.
Yeah.
And, but the amazing thing about it is there's 1.5 million, maybe 2 million people there. It's not as big as Chicago, but it's a big city.
Didn't feel that way? Didn't it feel a little crowded?
It was clean. It was like they had little fairies come out and clean the place when you weren't looking. I don't know how they kept it as clean as it is. It's an amazingly clean city.
Did you practice your Czech?
Yeah. And whenever I'd spoke Czech, there was this general sort of, isn't that cute how you're trying? But that's what it should be.
So after all of that practicing with Vera, which word did you find yourself using the most?
It wasn't prosim.
Not Bobette?
No, Bobette is what people said about me, which, you know, is idiot. But prosim, which means please, and about 57 other things, not as much as dickwee, which is thank you.
What?
Wow. Dickwee.
Dick.
Yeah. No, not
Dickwee?
No, not Dick-wee? That. Dickwee.
Dickwee.
D-E-C. Pronounce it this way. D-E-C-K-W-E-E. Dickwee.
Dickwee. Oh.
Yeah, that's thank you.
Wow.
I was
the
saying,
way you were saying
you were saying it a little wrong. Yeah.
Hey, Dickwee. So I was saying that probably as much as anything.
Okay, Dickwee.
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 So did you have to consult Vera at all?
No, you know, I didn't. I would have. But she was right about everything, and she was right when you said you're going to say 3 or 4 or 5 words and feel good about yourself, and then you'll look like you were trying.
There you go.
So, but anyway, I want to recognize, if you will,
yes,
several of the listeners that were on a trip, and congratulate David Hochberg. David Hochberg was a tour guide for Group 2.
was he passionately, enthusiastically raising his voice whilst
he was remarkably reserved. Now, I will say this, while we were there, this is how good he is. He refied the castle. The castle right there in Prague. You got a nice rate on it. All right, so Denise and Cynthia, I'm not gonna give away last names here for obvious reasons. But Denise and Cynthia, two new friends. They were both going to go as singles. Steve Bertrand hooked them up. They were hanging out and knowing each other on a trip.
There's not a Denise or a Cynthia I've ever met that I haven't liked. That's
always
a good name.
There you go.
Both those names.
Now, are these the names that were storming the castle with you?
Not all of them.
Oh, okay.
For instance, Elizabeth and Joanne. Elizabeth is Betty. Betty had just about enough of me. Betty, there you go. Yeah, okay, funny boy. Turns out Betty worked with my mom at Children's Hospital.
Oh.
But that's my world.
Kathleen and Melanie, Jacqueline and Gianna Marie. There were several people, by the way, on the trip that when we left to go to London yesterday to fly back, they went and took the train to Vienna.
That's so smart because they are already there. They've already traveled for so long.
Because, look, I'm holding my hands up. If you got your Prague right here, you got your Vienna right here. You know what I'm saying? You got your Berlin over here.
I mean, you should have done the same
thing. You got your Budapest over here. Jacqueline, Gianna Marie, yes. The two Dennises, father and son. That was a cool thing, too, seeing a father and son hanging out.
Oh, it had to be.
They're good guys, by the way.
Did you call one Junior? Mm-mm. How did you call after them?
I called them both Dennis. And it seemed easier. Thomas and Marianne, Gail and Erica. Oh, Gail and Erica, fabulous people.
Were they They knew how to
Gail,
party?
Yeah, it's just fun. We had dinner with them.
Cool.
Yeah, and went to the Bears game with them at the Irish bar we took over. And way too many here to mention. Robert and Laurel. Robert's about 6'11", so it was easy to see him. So if ever you got, you know, the big crowds, and if ever you couldn't tell where you were, you just look for Robert and his giant body.
So you didn't need the tourist leader to carry that pole with, like, the little...
Nah, and you know, Peter, our guy Peter, really wasn't into it. He had a Blackhawks hat that he wore the entire weekend. And all he did was just hold his Blackhawks hat up.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And he was a very funny guy. He goes, look, if some of you get lost, I've lost some before.
6'11"? How comfortable was the flight for him?
Well, he's not 6'11", but he's very tall.
Oh, okay.
How about family members? Didn't you go with
Amy? Yeah, Amy and Maureen.
Amy's pictures were fabulous, by the way.
Yeah, well, everybody should pay attention to those.
Yeah, thank goodness.
Yeah, she's a really good photographer.
Yeah, that's how we found you all the time.
Ronald and Natalie celebrating their 44th anniversary on the trip.
Beautiful.
And obviously, I blew it. We talked about it earlier. I should have. I wonder if my... Do you think my intergalactic reverend rights, do they apply to Prague?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
So I could have done the wedding right there?
Global.
Yeah. Okay. Richard and Joyce, John and Tammy, Victor and Marie. Victor, by the way, friends with Lou Manfredini. Daniel and Elaine. I don't want to leave anybody out, and I'm probably going to miss a few here. Joseph and Mary Alice. Oh, Glenn and Julia, they got a pizza joint out in Naperville.
Oh, what's the name of it? Did you?
Be great if I remembered. Hmm. I think it's the Little Italian Pizza Joint. I'm not that far off on the name.
You know, I'm always looking for little joints to go to.
And you thought Nickley sounded funny. you know, Vivian, find out if I'm right about that. It's a Little Italian Pizza place. I want to at least get the name right if I'm going to plug it. Steve Johnson from Second City, big shout over there, and his lovely wife Tina, George and Arlene, and Michael and Nancy. And Steve and Diane, and Sandra, she's been on like 7 of these Steve Bertrand trips.
Wow.
And she's going on more.
So is she a fan of yours or Steve's? Steve Bertrand.
That's a good point.
Mm.
Yeah, I thought she was a fan of mine. Laurel and Cynthia, I'm sorry, and Steven, and of course our guide, Peter.
And you were...
And if I forgot anybody, I apologize.
And you were more than an effusive travel companion slash leader slash guide.
Yeah, I think we had fun. I didn't have to guide anything. That was a positive.
Smart.
At a traditional Ukraine dinner, I think the first night we were all there with folk dancing and things, so I did a little folk dancing. One guy brought out a log and played the log. That was interesting. Like a big,
what do you
big
mean,
old
played
tree.
The log?
A big old tree with like a pipe sticking out of it, and he's playing music on it.
That sounds like a bassoon or something.
It would look a little bassoony. Yeah, yeah. And so a lot of the singing and dancing. Then we went to the Hawks game. And yes, it was the hottest arena I've ever been in. And I don't mean hot like, ooh, it's hot in here. It literally, temperature-wise, had to be
sweating.
70 degrees, which for a hockey arena is hot. Now, the Flyers had to play on the same ice.
Right.
You're not going to hear any excuse from the Blackhawks. They lost.
Was the ice melting?
It was slushy.
Mm.
It gets slow. And that's what we talked to Jeremy about that the morning of the game. About mm-hmm. the ice, and he said it had been kind of warm, but
they don't do the thing is this called the O2 Arena. They don't do hockey in there every night,
right?
So a bit of a new experience. Which again, the NHL hasn't explained why they didn't have enough gear to sell to everybody, but they didn't. And speaking of Coach Colleton, so we're walking down from the mountain. There's a place called I think it's called Petrin Hill above the castle that we stormed. And we're walking down through this very busy area. I mean, thousands of people. And as we're walking along, I'm going past one of these little mini markets. And Coach Colleton, standing outside amongst all of those people, just by himself, just standing outside. Hey, Coach. Hey, Steve. And we talked for a bit and moved on. But, you know.
I mean, okay, so it was literally like... Hi, Coach. Hi, Steve. I mean, you guys are in Prague. It's not like you bump into each other all the time.
It's two guys in Prague, right? So it's, hey, Coach, beautiful city, huh? Yeah, it really is. You guys all ready for the game? Yeah, I feel pretty good. Everybody is. Everybody's healthy. You guys having fun? Yeah, Maureen, Amy, we're all having fun. All right, man, we'll get back to the hotel safely. I'll talk to you later. Yeah, you too. That's a whole conversation. And by the way, that's a long talk with Colleton, as you know.
Yes.
So... But all a great trip. Again, I would highly recommend it. And if I remember something I've probably forgotten, we'll hit it later. And we'll also talk to Paul Coit about what's going on in the other part of Europe, in London, where we spent a good portion of the day yesterday.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
It's 7:26, and the MVPP, for those of you not aware, we had a high-level meeting. Here's how the high-level meeting worked. I talked to Sandberg in the hallway, and she said, you know, we get asked about, well, the MVPP. If I'm not listening at 7:20, I don't hear it. And even though you could hear it, we posted it online. Point being, we're going to move it around. We're going to move it around different times in different shows.
It's going to be MVPP, but a little bit of a surprise, too.
Well, we'll promote
like,
it, right?
Yeah, pow, wow.
That would be an SMVPP.
Yes, you surprise. Just don't know when it's going to happen.
Right. Well, no.
I like it. I like it a lot.
It's not going to be, hope you find it. We'll actually let you know where
no,
it is.
No, I know. I'm just saying. I kind of like a little bit of movement. Keeps me on my toes.
So anyway, that's the point of that. Viv, do we have the video up of our Scootinese friends?
No, she's editing it as we speak.
All right, a minute now. We'll have that up so you guys can see the Scootinese in business. I'm having trouble getting by the fact that we've determined, by the way, that an adult stole their domain name.
That's a terrible human being.
Pretty weak.
They're kids. Their this kids happens with all a the cool time. Idea.
These people, this is their sole business is stealing these domain names, and then they try to sell them back to you for an exorbitant price. It's very sad.
Whoever that person is an MTPP, the most terrible person on the
planet. I was
waiting
for you to tell me what those letters stood for.
Thank you. Thank you. Took me a minute.
And coming up, the most bizarre love story, love in quotes story. Did you guys talk about this yesterday at all? A bride and a groom were married a few days ago. You know the story I'm going here?
I saw this, but we didn't talk about it.
A groom was caught by his bride sexually assaulting a blackout drunk bridesmaid, and she married him anyway.
No, she didn't.
Yeah.
She did not.
Yeah, she did. We'll get to the news next. Headlines after this on 720 WGN. I don't know that I've ever seen a worse wedding day story than the one I mentioned a few minutes ago. I mean, it's just all bad.
It's shocking. It's not even, like, funny.
No, there's nothing funny about it.
Yeah, it's awful.
So here's what happened. A husband-to-be allegedly assaulted, sexually assaulted, a blackout drunk bridesmaid at a wedding event in the Poconos 2 days before they got married. The incident stems from a pre-wedding party on August 30th. So what is that? 5 weeks ago? 6 weeks ago? The wedding party and friends spent an afternoon rafting and paddling and drinking heavily on the Delaware River. The victim, a 29-year-old woman, told investigators she became, quote, heavily intoxicated, blackout drunk, on the rafting trip. When she came to, she realized that her bathing suit bottom was off and the groom was on top of her in the men's locker room. Didn't know how she got there. Obviously knew that there was problems. And by the way, the man that was on top of her was the groom-to-be. The bride then walked into the locker room, screamed at him, led to a fight between her and the future husband where he may have become physical with the bride-to-be. So far, this guy is quite the prince. Daniel J. Carney is his name. He's 28. He's been charged with involuntary deviant sexual intercourse as well as misdemeanor assault and indecent assault. The Pennsylvania State Police investigated, filed charges based on interviews with the victim and text message exchanges afterwards. Ay.
But Steve, the million-dollar question is, did they end up getting married?
Yep.
No.
Yep. They got married 2 days later.
She still married him.
Yep.
The bridesmaid was not in the wedding, was she?
That part I don't know. I thought, you know, I wondered the same thing. But there were text messages exchanged afterwards, and that's part of the reason the investigators were comfortable going forward with the charges, and it wasn't just a he said, she said, and the bride screaming thing. The woman told investigators she recalled drinking too much on the river when the wedding group arrived at the destination at the Shawnean Village in Shawnee, Delaware. She was unable to stand on her own. The initial story from Carney was she followed him into the shower, and he was drunk, too, and you know, things just got out of hand. He then admitted upon further questioning and pressure that he actually grabbed her and brought her into the shower. She told investigators she woke up as Carney was grabbing her head and body. Said she blacked out again, woke up with her bathing suit bottoms off, and Carney on top of her. The bride then entered. Screaming ensued. A physical altercation ensued. And despite all of that, they got married. The text message exchange, just pure genius. Carney called and apologized. Said he didn't know what they did. She felt extremely violated and upset. Before reaching the doorway, Carney allegedly turned around, pulls the victim into the locker room, does what he does. And in the text message, he says, I wanted to apologize again for everything. Can we please just be as happy as possible for the bride today? Listen to this part. Mistakes are behind us. Us? Who's us? You're a rapist. Mistakes are behind us. And I just need total closure before I do this, which is why I'm sending this. I'm happy as ever to marry her. He also followed with this. We never did really do it, but would you consider taking plan B to make damn certain just in case? There's almost no chance, but still, please tell me yes, I'm begging you. Wow.
Part of his excuse was that he was also inebriated, right? But yet he remembers they didn't end up doing anything, and he still wants her to take plan B.
Yeah. Yeah,
because
he
says he doesn't remember what he did or what happened or whether he pulled her into the locker room.
Well, let's give the maximum benefit of the doubt here. By the time you're a bridesmaid in a wedding, you've in all likelihood met the groom-to-be.
Mm-hmm.
You're all friends, or at least friends on some level. You know, there's certainly a point amongst guys where if a guy's dating a woman that all of your friends think is bad for you, there's a point where you no longer tell him that. And you support him to the best of his ability until the whole thing falls apart. I don't know what that line of demarcation is for women, but I'm saying you probably got to draw the line on sexual assault of one of the bridesmaids.
I can't even begin to imagine how that the wedding kept. How did she marry him?
Well, and you know, obviously everybody at the wedding knows what happened. So whether the bridesmaid is there or not, you're not enjoying the day. You're not experiencing the moment for the happy couple. You're going, that dude tried to rape the bridesmaid, and we're still going through this?
And why would she want to continue on, and why would she want to marry a man of that type of character? Like, who would...
Well, this isn't even just a lack of trust.
No.
It takes years to develop a lack of trust.
No, I mean, this guy, is a criminal act.
This is a sexual assault of a drunken friend.
Yes.
It sounds like to me this bride was not taking the friend's side. That she took the husband's side, doesn't it?
I don't know that she believed. Well, she walked in on him, right? So
yeah,
she walked in on him, so she had to believe him.
And he probably came up with a story right away, you know, some sort of.
Well, initially, I think he said that she followed him into the
locker
room.
So he probably had a big excuse already. So he was with it. I mean, he knew what was going on, apparently, enough to lie.
Yeah, that's another fine point, that he wasn't so blackout drunk that he couldn't lie about it, and as G said, remembered everything. I don't know. What's the lesson of this? The lesson is you don't marry the guy.
What if this was your daughter? You would be like, are not marrying this guy.
No, I would murder the guy. The show would be done from a prison.
I went to a wedding once where the groom was trying to pick up somebody in the bar the day before the wedding, and they did go through with the wedding, and they're still married.
What?
They've been married about 35 years. Yeah.
Well, but there's a whole...
such a huge difference between...
Yeah, he was just flirting with other girls,
like
is what he was
criminal
doing.
Sexual assault.
Not just, but he, you know, he didn't... Yeah.
But you guys, you guys may feel differently about this. I grew up around professional drinkers. I mean, Olympic-level professional drinkers. Booze is a truth serum. Getting drunk, you may not make sense, but you're saying what you're really thinking. When you're drunk. So anybody goes, I was drunk, I didn't mean that. You meant exactly that. So when this type of behavior goes on, there's a character reveal thing that happens there. How, you know, and I understand that I'm taking a bride's side and I don't know anything about this story other than what I just told you. But everybody's there. You've planned this wedding for months. I'm sure she did love the guy or loves the guy. She's under a tremendous amount of pressure to try to save this if at all possible. So would it surprise you if a month from now or 2 months from now she said, I'm out? You know, three months from now.
It would be one thing if the guy was caught, you know.
I'm not defending her.
No, I know.
That could be her mindset.
It could be, but I just, that's even shocking. I mean, like a criminal sexual assault on a person that's close enough to you to be a bridesmaid, to be in your wedding party. That's not just some Joe Schmo you pick up. That's somebody that's close to you.
And everybody knew about it, right? The parents all know about it, and right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm assuming everyone does this now. Goes to national news.
This goes to the nonsense you hear about phrases like, you know, grabbing the pee. Guys don't talk like that. I'm telling you. Dave, you've been around locker rooms your whole life. Joe, yes, you've been around locker rooms your whole life. I've been around locker rooms. I had never heard the grabbing the pee phrase ever until I heard it on the Access Hollywood tape. And guys don't do what this guy did. And I doubt very much that that's the only time he pulled that stunt.
I mean, it's not... It's
it's amazing.
It's horrific. Criminal.
312-981-7200. There's no calls to take on this.
No.
But if you got a text message you want to send anytime, you can send it.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Texters chiming in on the groom from hell. 630. Grandpa says people tell the truth when drunk and angry. I mean, that's the thing. You know, again, I can only give you my anecdotal experience of knowing a lot of drunks in my life. But that's when the truth comes out. And that's when you hear people go, oh, I didn't mean it. Yeah, you did. And now I have to decide what I want to do with that information. 708 for the story of the couple going through with the wedding. If they were both under the influence and under the current law, they both could not consent and thus basically both sexually, this is assisted, each other assisted, assaulted. But if the woman was blackout drunk, how could she be anything but a victim? I mean, I can't speak to the law in Delaware, but it would seem that that's probably the case all over.
He seemed a lot more cognizant than she was.
Right.
Was it Delaware or Pennsylvania?
Delaware is where the rafting trip was. Maybe the actual assault occurred in Pennsylvania.
I don't know.
Because as you know, they have the right next door.
That's true.
630, it's very simple. Clearly, no one believes the bridesmaid. That's why women don't report. Or maybe they don't... we don't know the bridesmaid, if there was some sort of feeling about her. You know, there's all that weirdness that gets in. And again, none of it excuses the fact that this guy did it and admitted he did it. Mm-hmm. 708, is this dude rich? Maybe the bride is just trying to get half the money, then divorce him. Severance pay for wasting her time on him. 847, it's my experience with sexual assault cases. The victim will most likely be blamed for the assault. The groom is now trying to turn himself into the victim. I mean, these are all good points, right? 773, I guess this changes speak now or forever holds your peace. The entire wedding party, everybody at a church stands up and goes, no!
Couldn't you imagine?
Nobody says that anymore, though, right?
I don't think so.
No, only on soap operas.
Yeah, I wonder when people who went to the wedding found out about this.
There's no way that could have been kept quiet.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, wouldn't you not go then? Wouldn't you not support
the wedding? That's a good question. Wonder how many people bailed on the wedding.
Yeah.
You think the groom registered at a lawyer's office? 224, how could you be a guest at that wedding, to Joe's point?
Yes, exactly.
And how could the parents let it go through?
They must not have known.
I bet you they just had a quick wedding or something. I bet.
Well, they said that the groom and the bride to be fought all night at the end of this. So apparently, it was pretty well known amongst the wedding party. Can't imagine that many people not talking about.
Yeah, but people are so good at keeping secrets.
Well, especially at a wedding. Be honest now. Who has ever sat at a wedding and not said something about what you think or is going on, either with the people getting married, the bridal party, other people at the wedding? Oh, did you see Jones here?
Look who's really drunk. Gee.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, everybody's,
as in not me, but you're
everybody's
just saying,
judgmental. If you have the kind of time, I try very hard not to read comments on stories because people are so anonymously vicious. But there's a lot of comments on this story, and there's a lot of versions of the story. I'm talking about the one specifically posted by CNN. And most of which I couldn't read anyway.
Also, there was surveillance video as well, which verified that she didn't follow him into the locker room. It was the police saw on the video that he actually pulled her into the locker room.
Well, and I don't think he can walk on this, because even if she didn't want to press charges, and we don't know that she doesn't, but if she didn't want to press charges, I think they can go ahead and press charges anyway. Because you can go to the argument, well, you're the lawyer, not me, but you can go to the argument that, you know, for the safety of the public, this guy needs to be punished.
Just on the very basic level, why would you want to be married to somebody that could do that to another human being?
Yeah, that's not, I was drunk and like, things got out of hand.
You want
to? That's a guy, you have to have a certain lack of character to do that, and a mindset. So, listen, I wish the bride well. I mean, you know, I get why people would be.
Is this who you want to father your children?
No, I'm just like, saying, I believe, you know, I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
Whatever like, level of crazy she made the decision on, I hope for the best for her, you know, because she decided to go through it.
Listen, I'd rather stay single forever.
630, how could the parents not know anything about problems between the bride and groom before the wedding?
Instead of marrying someone like that. My goodness.
But as an adult, I mean, you can't, as a parent of an adult that's marrying the wrong person, you got two choices to make.
You well, can either, I asked you what you would do.
You can either blow, oh, I would blow it up. I mean, if I knew somebody was going to, listen, I've seen circumstances where women have been physically assaulted. There's nothing I have less tolerance for.
Oh, absolutely.
And,
women or children or.
Oh, my God, of course. And if you have someone like that in your life as a parent, I mean, I have a very good friend who had a huge issue with the man that his daughter ended up marrying. And it blew up the relationship. But he couldn't live with himself just to keep, you know, quiet and say, well, we'll hope for the best. The guy turned out to be a bad guy and ended up getting divorced.
I don't see you as someone that sits idly by quietly.
No, you know, you can't, right?
No.
So, 312-917-2200, texts and phone calls about anything, anytime. Coming up on the news in a little over a minute. Before we get to that, I also wanted to mention that I saw Jimmy DeCastro, our former boss, and his lovely wife, Annie.
In Prague?
In Prague. They were there for the game.
Oh, wow.
I saw he posted something. They were riding horses somewhere.
He has he actually buys horses along the way.
Maybe that
flies
was
them over.
Yes.
No, they're doing the Sound of Music tour.
Yeah,
they went from like Luxembourg.
That is so cool. Yeah,
to the Czech Republic and then to Austria and beyond.
That's the best. This makes me want to sing "The Hills Are Alive."
The hills are alive. So it was great seeing them and Mike Hillstrom. You know, ChevyDriveChicago.com. I didn't see Mike, but I was told Mike was there as well.
Wow. Did you see Lauren Lapka, our very own?
I didn't see Lauren. I was told Lauren Lapka was there with her parents. I'm running into Coach Colleton in the middle of Prague with thousands of people. I never saw Lauren Lapka or her parents.
Wow.
But they could have tagged me with some sort of, you know, tracing device where they know they could stay away from it.
I think that was it.
Coming up on the news now, and then Dean, and then Paul Coit, our London correspondent, on the mess in the UK, because it's probably good to talk about the problems they have instead of the problems we have for a while, too.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah,
live to Channel 9. Good morning, Dean.
Now, were you gone?
Yes, I was gone, and several of the lovely listeners, and I mean this with all sincerity, 130, 140 of them, they were all great. You know, when do you think you'd get one chucklehead in the bunch, or somebody that just go, man, I'm going to throw you in the Vltava River.
Right.
But no, they were all great. And several times, it wasn't just two or three I mentioned to the other day, several times they went, having a good time, moron.
Nice. Nice, nice. I had, I mentioned to Justin yesterday that at the AIDS walk this past Saturday, I had a couple of people in the crowd, as we're fighting for HIV and AIDS, yell out to me, hey, moron.
Hey, it's the moron.
Yeah, love that.
Had you been to Prague?
I have never been. I've always wanted to go, though.
You got to go.
Yeah.
Everybody should go. And you know, this Steve Bertrand travel thing, I'd never done one of these before. There's people on this that have gone five times, six times, seven times.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big deal. So nice job by Steve and all the people that he works with in that regard.
Do you have to bunk with him when you're
I insisted that he not be on the trip. Yeah, I said, I'm only going to Steve if you're not
Steve
going.
Steve does not come. Yeah.
Now, you know from food, lovely people, Glenn and Julia, run a place called Little Italian Pizza in Naperville on Bailey Road.
Love it already.
And it's 373 East Bailey Road, Little Italian Pizza. And I, you know, I'm not far from there a lot of my time.
That's my spot.
You know it?
I love Little Italian.
I've not had it.
Oh, what kind of style pizza is it?
Well, Joe? My favorite part
the good
is that
kind?
They put the ingredients underneath the cheese.
Oh, okay.
That's one of the best
parts. Yeah, because I've noticed people are either the underneath the cheese or on top of the cheese.
Well, the Glenn and Julia people, they could not be nicer. So I'm going to go check their joint out. And Dean, you know, it's a small world. Dean, I don't know if you know this. It's a small world. So one of my better friends from high school, one of my best friends from high school, gets married to a wonderful woman named Anne Marie. Well, Anne Marie's got a really close friend here in Chicago, Julie. Julie and Dave were on the trip.
Hmm.
So from my little upstate New York town to Chicago to Prague. How about that?
The world is this big.
Yeah. Hey, watch that. I'm seeing your hand gesture.
Holding my fingers close together. Right a minute. Hang on. I just want to write this down. You said it's a small world. I've got an idea for a song I want to send to the Disney people.
Yeah, get on it. Absolutely. And I kept in mind your real estate background while I was there.
Yeah.
And I made a...
did you buy a castle?
I made an offer in crowns on the castle. Now, the exchange rate is 23-24 to 1.
Yeah.
So I thought these people are going to be impressed. It turns out the castle and the surrounding grounds, 50, 100 acres, whatever it is, are worth quite a bit of money. But I had 200 crowns left over, which is about 10 bucks. And I said, right now, cash, right now. And that's when the security threw me down a hill. They just tossed me and watched me roll down a hill.
They're like, couldn't Hochberg just help you with the financing?
He had already been in the back room refining the entire place.
Oh. They're like, get out of here, you bobette!
Not to get political about the whole thing, but I'm just wondering how Americans are viewed there.
Let me tell you, they love Americans, but here's a change. And this isn't just Republicans. This is Democrats, too. But I had at least a half dozen people say they felt sorry for us and sorry for America.
Mm. Wow.
That's so the world we're living in.
A little bit like a funeral. They're like, so sorry.
Yeah. So sorry. You're so screwed up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not good.
Did anyone reference Al Capone when they heard you're from Chicago?
There was a couple of references to that. Like, why do you people have crime tours?
It's my favorite thing when I'm abroad and somebody goes, oh, Chicago, Al Capone, bang, right. Bang, bang, bang.
You get Al Capone, Oprah, Michael Jordan, and pizza. Those are your things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I did get you some goulash. It's in one of my overnight carry-on bags.
Great. Thank you. Yeah.
All right, here's what's coming up. Neil deGrasse Tyson. Boy, Colbert loves him. He's on all the time.
He does, but I got to credit Stephen Colbert big time. He is really, really close friends with him. And his first question when he sat down was about the sexual assault allegations. That is a responsible interviewer right there.
Yeah, well, that's
he was there to promote a book, but Colbert asked him an uncomfortable question. And, you know, that's because that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, but Colbert's not a journalist, so it's good that he did, right?
Yeah,
good he stood up. By the way, Dean, not shying away from any of this, will often ask about my hobby of shoplifting. You know? So, Alex Trebek news, and it's not good. Tyler Perry, Nick Jonas, Abbey Road in the top five.
I love
five.
Her.
In the top five again, Billy Joel as well.
Isn't that your granddaughter, Abbey Road?
That's Abigail Grace.
Abigail Road.
Yeah, Abigail Grace. Yeah. And little Isaac, who I miss because I haven't seen him in a few days.
Aww.
But here's the thing, Dean. I think you can tell something about somebody from the stuff they watch on the airplane.
Ah, I was going to ask you. Did you watch good movies on the plane?
British Airways, lovely airline, by the way. Here's what I watched. I watched the only three episodes they had of season 7 of Veep. And I'd seen them before. I watched the Ron Howard documentary on Pavarotti.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Good movie.
I watched a very moving documentary called They Will Never Grow Old about World War One soldiers.
Mm-hmm. That's the one with actual footage from World War One that was restored by Lord of the Rings director Peter Jackson. It's amazing to watch that film.
I watched Toy Story 4.
And Peter Jackson also made that. Restored that.
And I watched It Was 50 Years Ago Today, which was a story of making the Sgt. Pepper album.
Oh, cool.
And I don't remember watching any movies beyond that. So let's review. Toy Story.
Four.
Documentary on the Beatles. Documentary on World War One. And three episodes of Veep.
A child that likes history.
I think my ADD may have been showing just a wee bit. All right, we'll come back to all that entertainment stuff in just a second. First at 8:18.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Richards.
Back with Dean Richards, live from Channel 9. Dean, what are you wearing?
I have a suit on, suit, blue shirt.
Okay, just in case someone's watching you. Just want to make sure they can pick you out from all the others on the show. Just trying to help. That's all. You know me. That's one of those moron services I provide.
Didn't HR tell you to quit calling me and asking me what am I wearing? Have you not learned your lesson?
Oh, wait. I have that note right here. All right. Neil deGrasse Tyson, friends with Colbert, shows up on the show. What happened?
Very, very good friends with him. In fact, Colbert even said he is his favorite guest on the show because he's a big science nerd. But Neil deGrasse Tyson, about a year ago, was accused of sexual abuse by several women, something for which his employers said that they did months of investigation and found that there was nothing to it and brought him back to his job again. They didn't exactly say he was exonerated, but he still has his job from the whole thing. So this is still pending. He pretty much has not made any appearances whatsoever in the past year until last night when he was on Stephen Colbert, and Colbert asked him what he learned in the past year.
I learned that I had friends in time of need and in time of stress. That's what I learned from this year. And you know, as a scientist, most of my time I'm just thinking objectively about the world, thinking a little less about emotion, about feelings, about and when I needed it most, people were there for me. Again, family, friends, and fans. Especially fans.
So social media on this is not exactly responding positively.
I would think they'd crush him for that because he didn't mention how the women may have felt.
Exactly right. One posting in particular kind of sums it up and says that's an oddly weak response. He's talking about his own support network, but not what any of the women may have felt during this whole time.
Wow. He actually may have stirred it up again. There's bad Alex Trebek news this morning, I guess.
Yeah, there is. He did a pretty extensive interview with CTV in Canada talking about his stage 4 pancreatic cancer that seemed to have went into remission, but now apparently is coming back with a fury. And he is saying that he's back on chemotherapy again. It's causing sores around his mouth that makes it difficult for him to speak. And even though everybody's being very nice to him right now, he sees that he may have to leave the show permanently because of that. It's not at that point just yet. He says that he's lived a good life. He's lived a full life.
Wow.
And he may be nearing the end of that life. And he says if it happens, he's not afraid. 79 years old.
God bless him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tyler Perry and an old nemesis.
Tyler Perry was criticized very heavily by Spike Lee at one time for his Madea character.
Yep.
Spike Lee called it, quote, coonery and buffoonery. So they have not been the best of friends through the years.
I'm guessing.
Tyler Perry, over the weekend, opened up a brand new movie studio complex. It's one of the biggest movie studio complexes in America. It's right near downtown America. Ironically, it sits on 333 acres that used to be a Confederate Army base. So it's a very, very big deal. 12 sound stages on this lot.
And where is it?
Just outside downtown Atlanta.
Atlanta, okay.
And the each of the sound stages is named after a pioneer in black filmmaking. And one of those, Tyler Perry, named after Spike Lee.
Wow.
And said that...
Who's the bigger man?
Exactly. In giant pumps. said that he and Spike Lee smoothed things over a couple of years ago and just agreed to disagree. But he says you can't deny what Spike Lee has meant for black filmmaking.
Good for him. Yeah. Dean's talking about Nick Jonas and Abbey Road as well this morning. But give me Billy Joel before we run out of time.
Billy Joel noticed some regulars at a concert that he was doing at Madison Square Garden, super fans that you know show up at the concerts all the time. He talked to them and found out it was their 100th show. And he said, well, when you decide to do your 101st show, you let me know, and it's going to be on me. That happened over the weekend. He picked up the tab for 4 tickets for the show and also backstage passes.
Well, that's nice.
Nice guy.
Yeah, he is a good guy. With tiny hands. Ever tell you that? I met him, and I love Billy Joel. He's my favorite artist of all time, and not just because I look like him. But tiny hands. I'm thinking, I actually said to him, I go, Billy, how do you play piano that fast and that well with hands your size? And then that's when he punched me.
Well, you know what they say.
And I had it coming.
The old saying, tiny hands, tiny gloves.
Yes. I like the other old saying, tiny hands, great pianist. See you, buddy.
Moron.
You're a moron, too. Glad to be back, and we'll get your headlines next on 720 WGN. The trouble with love is, it can tear you up inside. Make your heart picture, if you will. I'm at Heathrow in London, and my friend Paul Coit, my friend of 30 years, I haven't seen him in, well, it's been over a year, and Paul was going to meet me outside of security, and I was going to go through customs and meet him and hang out for a couple hours, and we couldn't do it. There was a problem with a connecting flight and a policy with British Airways, so we only got so far as Kelly Clarkson singing in the background as we just pressed hands in against the window, against the glass.
Are you going to acknowledge Super Joe? Because that comes from the Love Actually soundtrack.
Super Joe doesn't miss much. Yeah, yeah. He's strong. Very, very strong. Paul Coit joins me now. Are you still at Heathrow waiting for me?
Yeah, I'm still waiting outside. There's no sign of you. I'll just come and show you in a minute.
I just love the image.
I recognized you a couple of times, but I don't think it was you.
I love the image of you and I running towards each other and then banging into glass because we couldn't get through.
Absolutely. We ran towards each other, separated by policemen with no guns. That's what was going on. It was a very, very sad and upsetting moment for me and hopefully for you as well. How bizarre was that? I mean, really. I mean, for crying out loud.
And I am responsible and prompt. You would think they'd know that.
I know. That's the thing. And also, knowing you, I thought, blimey, this is all looking very good. You sent me a text saying, you know, I'm around from 2:45 to 6:45, and then I see you've landed at 12:45 because you've got to put a 1 at the start of before the 2, which is very much unlike you. Surely there's something can be sorted out. With all this customs visit, I blame Brexit. That's what I do. If it wasn't for Brexit, then I would have been out of sea.
Well, I considered causing an international incident, but then the other people on the trip were so nice, I didn't want there to be a problem. However, there was one, I think you'll find this amusing, Paul, we were entering passport control, some folks from our group said loud enough for the local security folks, local British folks to hear, they said, well, we're not going on an international flight. We're going to the USA. Going, well, we're in London, so the USA would be international. And
I think there's something nice about that, that they feel that we are part of the same nation. So yes. That is quite nice.
Yeah, now one of your security people just kind of shook her head and said, you people live in a bit of a bubble, don't you?
Is that what they said? Oh, dear, I can't apologize enough. We're just so dry and miserable, really. I mean, that's what they're employed for. Just to come, they actually have a list of lines that they can use.
Right.
Which actually involves a tut at the end. I don't know about you, but for me, the worst thing in the world is where people say about scratching fingers down a blackboard or anything, it's the sound of a tut. You call it a tut when someone just goes like that.
Right.
It's
painful.
The most annoying, patronizing. Mm-hmm. You walk past someone and they go, and that's what we've perfected in this country.
There's got to be a point, though, where most of Europe, depending on your level of history, the concerns and knowledge and things, looks at the quote ugly American on vacation or on a trip. And again, our group was great. but looks at those and goes, really? We lost the war to them? What was going on with my ancestors?
Listen, we can, you know, there's a look, I promise you, and as nice as it is, we can tell you. We can tell you people very, very quickly before we see the accent, before we hear the accent, Aiden. There is a look. There's a pair of slacks that go with a pair of sneakers that you can spot from 1,000 miles. Usually a beige slack. And a pair of sneakers, and which are usually Nike. Used to be Reebok in the day. Used to be, but not anymore. And it's just that from the ground upwards, you can spot straight away. Is it a uniform? Does it have to be worn?
No.
By people of a certain age.
No, it's voluntary, and we judge those people too.
Okay, so
it's just on a different level.
You could spot us though in a second, though, right?
We could spot you because you're overdressed and you talk funny.
And also saying sorry for absolutely no reason.
Everything.
Whatsoever.
So sorry.
Walking down the street. So sorry. What for? I don't know. It's just what I have to do. I'm just so sorry.
I'll tell you what really proved popular in Heathrow when I walked through the entire airport only doing my impression of the Queen.
Oh, which way to my gate, young man?
Oh, God, they loved it.
I bet they laughed and clapped and tutted quite loud.
Yeah, they tutted. There was a lot of tutting going on.
You know how much I enjoy that.
Big tutting. All right, so listen, we both have leaders with bad haircuts.
I know.
We both have leaders who are, and I'm talking about Trump and Boris Johnson, if you're not paying attention. We both have leaders who are popular with some, though certainly not all, and the majority seem to disagree with them based on any poll. You're in the middle of something called Brexit, British exit from the European Union. The Queen actually may be involved in this in some way because Boris Johnson, your guy, apparently lied to her. Is this going to happen, and how much trouble is it now with some perspective from you and some distance from when the actual vote was a couple of years ago?
Right, so we're looking, the actual date is October the 31st, Halloween. The parallels are quite frightening, aren't they?
So that's
when it's supposed to be. At the moment, he's the latest from Angela Merkel, or Angela, you don't call her Angela because she's German, you have to call her Angela. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. So Angela, Ange, as I like to call her, has said that it doesn't look like a deal can be struck. He said, oh yes, we're still talking to Europe. How can you be talking to Europe? You're not actually there at the moment, Boris, but I'm sure that he says that he's making the deal. So now it seems like that we will come out of Europe without a deal. Which means that our borders will be sealed, nobody will be allowed out, and nobody will be allowed in for the rest of our lives. So pretty much that's
wow.
Where
that seems really, really permanent.
You thought about the Texan wall. We're going to have this huge, it's going to be like a picket fence. It'll always look nice because it's here, but around the outside of this country. So we are going to be self-sufficient forever.
And I'm told Mexico will pay for the wall in the UK. Is that accurate?
Well, apparently, both Trump and Johnson, hair care people around the world are making so much money out of them, they're going to make a contribution, which I think is a nice gesture, quite frankly.
Now, in this country, we also have a bunch of whiny Democrats, a bunch of lying Republicans, and the whole thing's a hot mess. The Conservative Party is Boris Johnson's party. The Liberal Party, are they just as annoying?
No, it's the Labour Party. The Labour Party is the...
I'm sorry, the Labour Party.
And then there's then you've got the Liberal. Yes, they're all. Of course they are. They're all annoying. They all want their power. They all say, well, just disagree with the other one, just for the hell of it. And that's just what politics is all about, isn't it? Just disagreeing with someone else and then say, well, why? Go, well, because it's not what he says. And that's pretty much where we're standing at the moment. It's a disaster. It's embarrassment. Most people don't even know what's going on. We've even got political experts on the TV. They're actually going, you know what? My hands are up in the air. I don't know what's going on. So if they don't go on, if they don't know what's going on, Steve, you know, the chance of me of understanding probably 1% of it is minimal.
Well, and we'll leave it at this. I think, and I'm not kidding when I say this, I think the strength of Trump's staying power and Boris Johnson as well is actually no self-realization of or guilt of how ridiculous they both are.
And the thing is, all these different things for me are being used as pawns to get where they want to be.
Right.
It doesn't matter at what cost or what anybody else is doing, but as long as, you know what, the big aim is that I'm going to be the prime minister, the big aim is I'm going to be the president. And that's the worry, I think, for all of us.
Well,
that's quite good, wasn't it, for me?
That was very deep.
How many
very deep.
Doing this?
Very, very deep. All right, now, go back to that window. I was supposed to show up at Heathrow. I'll be there as soon as possible.
Hold on. I think that's you coming through now.
All right, buddy. You're the best. Thank you.
Hey, listen, I hope you're feeling all right. I hope you got some sleep.
No, but as you and I have discussed, when you get up when you get up in the middle of the night to do this, as anybody who works or any job that starts at 5 or 6 in the morning, you feel so crappy all the time, it's hard to tell the difference.
Yeah, I know.
Which brings me to the plug. Talk Sport 2, our friend Paul Coit, every morning, 5 till 9 a.m. That's midnight to 4 a.m. Insomniacs. It's Talk Sport 2. Hear it online, or for those listeners in London, well, you know where to find it. All right, but say hi to the family. Thank you.
Yeah, you too. Thank you.
There you go. Paul Coit. A very astute, tight report from our British correspondent, our London bureau chief. Normally, he's got no information. He actually had information.
I'm just so mesmerized by the accent. I don't know what he's saying.
Yeah,
we didn't get to ask him about the aftermath of all the Bears fans who were there.
Yeah, I actually brought it up to him yesterday, and he went, oh, yeah, that's right. That was today. And I said, no, it was yesterday.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
So we talked a lot about, you know, the trip and stuff when I was gone. You guys haven't told me much about what happened here when I was gone.
We cried. We were depressed because you weren't here. We really did not know how to carry on with ourselves. I mean, I could barely drag myself into work.
We heard a lot about softball, which what happened with the game?
They must have won.
All right,
how do you know?
Back this up now. Explain the story, Dave.
Well, so Justin and the WGN radio softball team were playing in the championship game of the Media League last night.
In the first year officially being in the league?
First year officially being in the league. They reached the championship against the Reader at Forest Park.
And it was the penultimate. To hear him talk about it, it is, there's a...
Probably wasn't even a pentultimate, it's probably an ultimate.
Yeah, sorry.
He's the captain, yeah, or whatever he is.
Manager. It was the biggest thing ever.
Well, what happened?
Oh, I'm told the Reader won.
See, here's how I knew that, because you told me...
We would have heard about it.
Yes, exactly. And there was a posting of a photo of Justin, I guess, Justin.
No,
leaving.
Justin was not in the picture.
Oh, he was out pouting? Yeah. The team toasting the team.
It was three members of the team, only one of whom is an actual employee here,
right.
Drinking shots in a bar.
Yeah.
Oh, before the game?
No,
this is after.
I think it was. That's why they lost.
Maybe.
But for that reason.
So this was the final.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh,
so for that reason.
I guess I wasn't really listening too closely.
Oh, my gosh, Gene.
Gee, how
That's
could you not know
about.
That?
But if you have a picture, you would be going, we won, we won.
There'd be a trophy.
Celebrations.
Yeah.
Not three people, two of which don't work here, doing shots.
Right.
We would have had a parade coming through the hallways.
What was he talking about? He said three times in a row. Like, have they been here three times in a row?
No. First year in the league.
They played last year.
Can I see your headphones? I want to make sure they're working.
We heard all about
the other team was competing in the championship or had won the championship yesterday for the third time in 4 years.
Oh, thank you, Super Joe. I knew there was something about three. All I know is he told me I had to go visit there's a Hall of Fame museum.
Yeah, it turns out you don't have to.
Softball Hall of Fame.
And he said that it's...
So Franklin Park or something.
And you play it gloveless and it's pretty
Forest
incredible.
Park,
Forest Park? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, he said it's in a spectacular... He said I should try out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'd have fun. Are you athletic?
Oh, yeah.
You have to try
look
out
at me
for
when
this
you say
team?
That. Are you athletic?
Oh, yeah.
You can't do it, can you? You can't look me in the eyes and tell me the truth.
It would be nice if you did, because then we'd have an actual employee on the team.
No, Dave, do we really have to try out to be on the team?
I don't know the answer to that.
But we have just Mary, I'm not sure if you were listening. This team made it to the championship.
Yeah. Okay.
They only take winners.
Well, they take winners and one loss. But there are apparently a lot of ringers on this team.
Justin I went in his office. He was filling out the light up yesterday.
He loves this stuff. Yeah. He loves this
line
stuff.
There's a lot of former WGN people on the team.
You know, we should get a hold of Justin and see who blew it.
Well,
who made an error, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, no.
Maybe it was him. We haven't heard about
oh,
it.
Oh, is he in the witness protection program? The softball witness protection program? Adam Hogue coming up on the Bears after the news.
They're not happy. And so they're in there, and they're going to figure it out. And leaders create leaders, right? So right now, they got to lead themselves. And no more talking. We're out. We go out there, and we just play. We're 3-2. And that's the good part. There's a lot of teams right now that aren't 3-2. Each person, every coach, every player, it's time to start looking at themselves in the mirror and figuring out why you're out there.
What's your job, coach? That's why you're out there. I don't know. Some people go to a factory, an office, whatever. If you're on the Chicago Bears, it's your job. Does he need help with that? He's probably got that figured out.
I think he knows.
I did not see Adam Hogue on the trip, but I know he was working hard in London. Are you back, by the way? Adam Hogue, are you back?
He is back.
I can pretend to be Adam Hogue. Would you guys like for me to give you a breakdown of the game?
They lost? Is that your breakdown? We have all of our switches in its proper position because you could naturally assume I'm the problem. When something like this comes up?
No.
Yes, Adam Hogue?
I am here, guys.
Yeah, Super Joe!
Hold on a second.
Yay.
Super Joe literally walked in, shut it off, and turned it back on. You don't get credit for a fix
oh,
for that.
Oh, he doesn't?
That's a reset.
He does, because he's super.
You're not still in London, are you?
No, I am home now, okay. Guys. And if Super Joe can fix the mix minus, that would be great. But otherwise, I'm ready to talk Bears.
All right, because here's the thing. A lot of people are talking about this, and Dave, you know this. They say the temperature was too high and the field was slushy. Was that it?
No. You got your events.
I mixed the two events.
My personal opinion is I think the Cubs ought to think twice about playing that series next year in London because I think Chicago teams have shown they don't do very well when they go across the big pond.
What's the story there? Yeah. Why are we so bad internationally? Do we get sleepy?
I don't think that was the issue on Sunday. But that's just my opinion. I think that they just got beat up at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the football in the first half. It was, and you know what? It wasn't all that surprising to see with Akeem Hicks out. That's the best offensive line they faced all season in the Raiders, and we knew that going in. So I don't think it was sleep. I just they came out flat for whatever reason. Because if they were really that tired and jet lagged, then you wouldn't have seen what they did in the third quarter. They came back and they played fine the rest of the way. It was just they dug themselves too big of a hole.
It was like football ADD. You're down 17-0. You're up 21-17, and then you sort of just quit. Period. Here's what I think is a solution right off the bat. Throw the ball to Allen Robinson 50-75 times a game. That kid is unbelievable.
Yeah, he's having a great year. He's showing, why. He's only 26. You guys realize that? I mean, yeah. He's been in the league for a long time. He's still very young, and he's still getting better. I think the problem right now with the Bears is they're seeing, on the offensive side of the football, they're seeing regression, specifically from Kyle Long, kind of at a severe level right now, and that's created a pretty big hole on the offensive line. And then left tackle Charles Leno Jr. is not playing as well as he has either. And then you have other young guys like Anthony Miller, who I really expected to have a breakout year. And, you know, last week he's tweeting about how he's open, and then, okay, you're open, and then he drops the ball. And then he gets the bad penalty after the touchdown for taunting. You know, he's got to clean up his game because I see a guy like that the Bears really need to break out the rest of the way if they're going to start scoring more points offensively. There's some of a lack of focus right now with some of these players right now. It's a little concerning.
So, Adam, is the answer as far as the line goes, I mean, do you have to be careful not to overreact to this game, or through five games, is there enough evidence that the offensive line really has some issues that they have to address maybe over this bye week sooner rather than later?
Well, I'm really confounded by the offensive line. I did not expect this. I didn't think they were a great, outstanding unit, but I did not expect them to take a step back like they have. And so I spent a long time on my flight home from London, not just watching the Raiders game, but going back and watching you know, even the Redskins game a few weeks ago and the Vikings game, and try to figure out why, especially when it comes to running the football, they're not having success. And I, the biggest hole I can point to, again, is Kyle Long. He's just, to me, consistently, it's not just one. It's not just overreacting to one game now. This is five games of poor play from him. And it's, I don't think Leno's been awful in all the games, but he's had too many moments and too many penalties where he's been struggling. And then all of a sudden you throw in a random breakdown from James Daniels at center, who hasn't really taken over that spot like I thought he would. So, you know, all of a sudden you start talking about it, and that's three-fifths of your offensive line.
Yeah.
That's been inconsistent, and that starts to add up over time. And so I don't know how you fix this in the short term. Maybe you give a guy like Rashad Coward, a young kid who I know they feel like has a lot of promise, maybe during the bye week you give him a shot at right guard and push Kyle Long a little bit. Maybe that's what they need to do.
Did you sense an appropriate amount of disgust, if that's the right word, from coach after the game? Like, this is a big deal? Certainly sounded like it in the clip we played.
Yeah, absolutely, I did. He and I asked him specifically about the, how you fix this running game in the bye week, and I got a little bit of a dirty look. And I didn't think that it was a dirty look at my question. It was more of a disgusted look at his own players' play. That's how I read it. And then when we got together, he had a 9 a.m. press conference in London yesterday, sort of a short turnaround. And it was the same thing. It was that you could tell right now he's frustrated. I think he's a little bit frustrated at himself, too. But he's taking ownership for this. He fully realizes this offense is his. And he's the guy that's coordinating it. Now, I always say this. It's hard to call plays when your offensive line isn't blocking. It's just really, really hard to do. But I also think sometimes, guys, the Bears' offense has looked a little predictable. There's too much formational type. I don't want to get too X's and O's here, but when I'm watching the tape, I'm going, this is the same stuff they ran last year. And if I can figure that out, the opposing coaches sure as hell can figure it out on the other side too. So I think that Matt Nagy has some soul searching to do during the bye week as well.
So the game within the game stuff. Khalil Mack, everybody assumed was going to have the Raiders for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And the Raiders did a nice job of controlling him. The defense has really led the way throughout here, but when they needed to stop the Raiders, they couldn't get it done. What are we missing there?
Well, look, Khalil Mack's outstanding, and he came into this game, in my opinion, the leader in the clubhouse to win Defensive Player of the Year. Even Khalil Mack can't get through triple teams. Even Khalil Mack is not going to have a great game if he's doubled on almost every snap.
But here's the thing. It's a great defense, and I know they're banged up. But if you're double-teaming Khalil Mack or triple-teaming Khalil Mack, there's one or two guys that aren't.
Well, and that's
so
what
why
I was
aren't
gonna,
they having more impact?
That's what I was going to get to, Steve. The loss of Akeem Hicks early on this game really hurt them. I thought if you go back and watch the first series, even though the Raiders were moving the ball, Akeem Hicks was looking very good up front. Then he comes out with that elbow injury, and all of a sudden, you got a young guy, Jonathan Harris, who's an undrafted free agent rookie, on the field way too much in this football game, and getting pushed back 5, 6, 8 yards at a time, blown off the football at the line of scrimmage, way too much in this game. Roy Robertson Harris didn't step up with his one-on-one matchups, and he's had a great season to this point. There wasn't enough of Leonard Floyd in this game. I thought this was his worst game when he was getting one-on-one matchups. So that's the problem in this specific football game. Akeem Hicks is out. Khalil Mack's getting doubled and triple teamed. Where is everybody else? And they just didn't have enough spark to their game. Granted, they're going up against the best offensive line they faced, and there are some mismatches in there when you're talking about the Raiders' offensive line going up against an undrafted rookie free agent. But that's the problem specifically in this game, and why there were some why the defense looked as leaky as it did.
Geez, hey, Adam.
Hi, Adam.
By the way, Adam Hogue.
Adam Hogue. How did you feel? You were listing off some players there. How did you feel about Roquan Smith and how he did?
Yeah, so I was kind of down on him immediately following the game, and I couldn't wait to go back and watch it. I thought he played a little bit better than I thought live, but still not good enough. And to me, to talk about Roquan at this point, I'll come out and call myself out for it. I predicted this dude might be an all-pro by the end of the year. Based on what I saw from his rookie season, I thought he was going to explode. I don't know what's going on in his personal life. I don't know what the issues were last week. something is not right right now with Roquan Smith. That's another piece right now. When I look at things I predicted earlier in the year, things I thought would happen, and why the Bears are sitting here at 3-2, and there's certainly some doubts about whether or not they can win this division and make a run in the playoffs or even make the playoffs, Roquan Smith is a big reason why right now. One of those things I look at and go, man, this is just not what I thought would happen this year. He has not been as good as I thought.
So you get, 10 days here once they go back to work. Is it Mitch Trubisky? It's got to be, right, when they come back?
Yeah, I think there's a good chance. Unfortunately, they're off the entire – maybe a good thing for them, but they're off the entire week. So we're not really going to get any updates until Monday.
Well, by the way, what is that about?
Well, it's
– I don't understand the NFL work week. I know in a bye week you're supposed to get time off, but when you lose, maybe you don't get as much time off.
Yeah, these are the conversations we tend to have every year. I mean, because John Fox – well, to – maybe it's a good thing. John Fox would have these guys practice through Thursday.
and that didn't really work either. Weekend.
Yeah, that didn't work either. So, anyway, to answer your question, I do think there's a chance Mitch comes back after the bye. The bigger question to me is, how does this injury affect his play going forward? It's not his throwing shoulder, but he's going to be dealing with pain. Does it impact the way he hangs in the pocket? Does it impact his ability to run or willingness to run and take a shot here and there? I don't think it's fair to just pass this off like it's not a big deal. I'm very curious to see what he looks like when he comes back.
Dave, you get the last word, buddy.
One of the things that Nagy kind of alluded to at his morning after news conference yesterday, Adam, and you were there, was the dark side surfacing and that he kind of had to crack the whip a little bit. Is that a big leap for this coaching staff to kind of have to play bad cop here, and is it a surprise that they're in this situation?
Yeah, I thought it was a good question that was brought up, and I liked his answer because we don't get to see when that happens, really. The only time we get to see when that happens is in training camp, and we're allowed to watch all the practices, and there were times in training camp this year where Nagy was pretty hard on his guys and needed to be. So we saw a little bit of that, but during the year we don't see it because we're not allowed to watch practice and we certainly aren't in team meetings and things like that. But what he said was he had to do it last year too. He wanted to make that clear that there were times last year where he had to play bad cop. And what he admitted is that he's just having to do it a little bit earlier this year. And so, look, they had a bad loss to the Dolphins at a similar time in the season last year. They fell to 3-2 and they were able to bounce back. Now, the schedule's harder this year. You know, they don't get to play the Jets and the Bills back-to-back like they did last year to kind of cushion the blow of some of these bad losses. But I'm not giving up on them because they're 3-2. I do have some concerns that need to be addressed, and Matt Nagy is going to show how good of a coach he is here in the coming weeks.
It's Adam Hogue. Read it where?
WGNradio.com/Bears. It's all up there for you.
Thank you, buddy. Nice work by you.
Thanks, guys.
You welcome go. Home.
That's Adam Hogue.
Cute guys. World travelers.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, but don't, I mean, give yourself credit. You got to Evanston.
Yeah, I got to Lincoln, Nebraska.
So there you go. It's time now for the Steve Cochran Show to continue when we come back. And a different story out of London. It's a terrible story.
Another terrible story?
Diplomatic immunity. And a woman who ran from a crime she committed. Where is this one going to go? We'll give you the details in a moment. At first, this on 720 WGN.
Diplomatic immunity. It's just been revoked.
Danny Glover from the first Danny Glover, Mel Gibson, Buddy. What was the name of those movies? No, Lethal Weapon. The first Lethal Weapon. Why are we talking Lethal Weapon 2, I'm told? Why am I talking about diplomatic immunity? This story is amazing. A U.S. diplomat's wife killed a British teen in a wrong-way collision. She claimed immunity and fled the U.K. and now is refusing to answer questions. This all happened August 27th. The wreck left 19-year-old Harry Dunn dead after the woman collided with Dunn's motorcycle near the Royal Air Force Station, which is operated by the U.S. Air Force, where her husband works. I don't know if they live on base or not. I would assume maybe they do. Anyway, you got to drive on the left side of the road there. She was on the wrong side of the road and ran head-on into this guy in his motorcycle. Speaking to the BBC, the spokesman for the family and Prime Minister Boris Johnson have both been involved. Boris Johnson says, I hope that Anne Sekulis, We'll come back and we'll engage properly with the process of laws carried out in this country. If we can't resolve it, then I, of course, will wait, raise it personally with the White House. The parents of this young man have been doing interviews talking about it, and the mother in particular is just heartbreaking. She appeals to this woman as a mother, saying, you have to understand as a mother what this means to us. We're broken. We're a family in ruin. And this woman has to step up. There's a lot of crazy things people do in a moment of panic. I can't imagine leaving the scene of an accident where someone may have died. But even after you do, don't you realize at some point I've made a terrible mistake and you go back? You don't head for the airport and fly home and say you have diplomatic immunity for accidentally killing someone. And by the way, as an accident, stand up and face it. So it's incredible. It's 9:28. We're going to take a break, come back, get your headlines next on 720 WGN.
Well, I got my own plane. The fuel's rather smelly. Runs of corn on the cob, soybeans and pork belly. I'm a legend on GM, both the radio and telly. I'm Orion Sandelson.
Yeah! Big O. Still with us. Good morning, huh? Nope, sorry. Hold on. I'm going to find him. I got him here, I promise.
I can pretend to be Big O, too. Earlier, I was Adam Hogue.
Yeah, you know what? I don't think you can get to that level of voice.
No,
Orion, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Are you hearing me?
Yeah, but I have jet lag. So, you know, I don't know that I'm hearing anything. I'm not even sure
well,
if I'm
I've got jet lag, too, because I flew to Arizona yesterday and got in yesterday afternoon. So, but I don't have prog jet lag like you do, I'm sure.
Did you ever have a jet lag cure back in the day?
Not really. Melatonin did give me some help, but I discovered, you know, after my first foreign trip where I was in an airplane for 16 hours, I discovered that the fastest way to get back to normal is to get right back into the schedule yep. that you were accustomed to before you made the trip. And don't try to drag it out 2 or 3 days to catch up. Just do it right now, and it'll take about a day to get over it. So.
Yeah, and I actually feel about the same as I normally feel, which is out of it and punchy.
Did you enjoy Prague?
Prague's beautiful. I assume you've been there?
I have a funny story about Prague. I was there with a soybean tour to Europe quite a few years ago, and Prague in Czechoslovakia, one of the stops on the tour, and they took us to a restaurant across the river on the side of a hill. Very nice restaurant and well-known, I guess, to the people in that community. And I had to go to the bathroom, and so I'm standing in the bathroom at the urinal, and the cleaning lady comes in. And I'm doing my thing, and she is saying, she looks at me in my back, and she says, "You American?" And I said, "Yeah." "Where are you from?" I said, "Chicago." She says, "Oh, my daughter is going to school in Chicago." So she comes and stands by me at the urinal and carries on a conversation with me.
Well,
I can vouch for 100%. I went into 3 different unisex bathrooms this weekend where, because the line's always longer at the women's bathroom, women were very happily lined up. And these are women I don't know and I won't be seeing again who are standing behind me while I'm doing my thing.
Yes.
It is the most awkward thing when you're in the washroom with someone and you start a conversation as you're walking into the washroom. So you don't ever know, do you keep continuing that conversation while you're in your respective stalls? Or is it awkward to keep that conversation going?
Oh, see if you agree with this. I think man to man, if a man tries that with you, it's over.
No.
You just go, hey, we're not in here to talk. Yeah. But if a woman, a lovely woman, she's like a very nice woman's talking to you, I guess you politely keep talking, huh? Right?
Well, I did because she wanted to know all about where I lived and worked in Chicago so she could relate it to her daughter. And meanwhile, I'm standing at the open urinal and doing my thing, and she keeps talking to me about Chicago and her daughter. And, I carried on the conversation, and finally she went out, and then I backed away, and I came out, too.
I'm glad you didn't feel awkward, Orion, because I think that this woman had the same level of clearance as a doctor. So, you know, she's already...
She's seen it all.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
I'm sure she had, yes. So, but I think think we take going to the bathroom more seriously than any people on earth, because I remember being in Japan, out in the country in Japan, and we were at a restaurant, and the bathroom had a glass door facing the bar. So when you went into the bathroom, people at the bar could look through the glass door and see your back. And, seriously than anybody.
But you know me, I love our hang-ups. I think we need more hang-ups.
We tend to be pretty wound tightly.
And
prudish.
I was talking earlier about the guide we had. It was great, by the way. Our guide, a guy named Peter Burka. And he wrote a book called The Xenophobe's Guide to the Czechs, which is available on Amazon and various places. And if you're going to the Czech Republic or to Slovakia, I mean, that whole area, I'd recommend it. It's quite good. But he was great. And he goes, you know, Steve, in this country, we have lived under 8 different governments in 80 years, and yet college is free. He goes, here's how socialism works. No one pays for university. Anybody who comes here can get free university, but we pay when you go to the bathroom. So they charge you to pee, but they don't charge you to study. So he had a great sense of humor about it.
Well, I think maybe the other thing we learned, we ought not let our professional teams go to Europe. Bears lose in London, Blackhawks lose in Prague.
We were talking to Adam Hogue about that a few minutes ago. He's more upbeat about it than I am. I think domestically we got to shut it down. I say the teams can't leave the country anymore, right, including Canada.
That would be a problem.
I agree.
Actually, the Cubs Cardinals in London is already on the schedule for next season.
Yeah.
So, all right. So a question for you related to the business that you do every day. I keep hearing a lot of these alleged experts that you've mocked for me for years who always seem to know something until they make a mistake and they say someone else said that. It wasn't me. They're very pessimistic about the economy, not just flattening or slowing down, but possibly headed for a major break. Do you have any sense of that, positively or negatively?
I don't, because I'm a positive thinker. I don't think we're going to go into a serious recession, because the numbers you look at, employment and the employment rate and unemployment rate and all of that, and the consumer spending hasn't faded that much. And, you know, 2/3 of our economy based on consumer spending. So I'm not as pessimistic as the experts are, but you can't guess it. I used to annually, at the beginning of the year, project where the Dow would be at the end of the year, and I did pretty well on that. But finally, because of the computer trading that we've gotten into, where you can trade, huge amounts in a second or two, it just is too challenging anymore. But the thing that I find is all of the experts who one day say, oh, we're going to get a trade deal with China, market goes up, and then the next day, market goes down because somebody else has said, no, we're not going to get a trade deal with China. So I'm not making any prediction on when or where we will come up with an agreement in China, but they need us probably as much as we need them. Sure. And it's just every day it's a new headline, and every day the market reacts to it. I think we should give it a week or so after a comment is made before we do the reaction, but we'll never do that because I watch some of the all Wall Street channels on television, and everybody is an expert, except they don't know what the market's going to do.
No, but they're going to tell you what it may or may not do and why you should be worried.
That's right. Absolutely. And they have done that. And, from the standpoint of agriculture, we just got, on Monday, we got harvest progress. We are running far behind the progress that we would normally have on harvest. And the way the rains keep coming, I don't know if we're ever going to catch up.
Slow start in the day. The Dow down almost 300, NASDAQ about 100. But remember, the markets don't close for several hours, and you always get that afternoon bounce back after people go out, have a sandwich, feel better about themselves, and start buying things.
Right. Yep. It's a guessing game as much as anything else that we do.
All right, last word. There was some talk, because farming is obviously very big in the Czech Republic in general, in Slovakia, in that part of the world. But there was some talk about gardening, urban gardening, and urban farms and things of that nature. And folks there locally were talking about the growing business of goat rental. And apparently we started goat rental. I didn't know this, unless they're wrong historically. But the idea of, you know, maybe you don't want to make the full commitment to a goat, but you get a goat to actually tend your lawn or your farm or your garden to the best of that, although I think the goat would eat everything. And goat rental is starting to catch on in and around Prague.
Is it really? Well, you know, at, I don't know if they still do it at O'Hare, but they were using goats at O'Hare to keep some of the weeds and some of the grasses down where they didn't want it. I don't know if they're still doing it or not, but yeah, goats are now being used to keep public areas clean and mowed, so to speak, because they will eat anything, and they do well doing it, so...
And do you,
well, if you want to get into the business, I know somebody who's raising goats. Maybe we can go buy a couple.
Hey, now you're talking. And do you know about goat yoga?
No, I do not know about goat yoga. I don't know about yoga, period.
Goat yoga is what?
Yes, it is at Glen Art Farm on Chicago's west side, and you can do yoga with goats. It's very calming.
And the goat is supposed to be relaxing? I'd be worried that the goat smelled like leftover steak on me or something and would bite me.
Oh, no, 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 no. The goat is just there to help encourage you and get you to that zen state of mind.
Yeah, I think that's become pretty popular, not just here, but around the country. I mean, the goats, like, climb on your shoulders and stuff while you're doing the yoga.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't seem right. Oh, I'm going to have to say I've got to hang up about this as well.
I'm with you on that. I would never do it. Well, first of all, I don't do yoga. And secondly...
Not with goats.
I don't have goats, no. I have to tell Dave, on the flight coming in to Phoenix yesterday, I had a dish that contained kale. And I don't like it any better now than I did before I tried it.
Well, I was just going to congratulate you, and then you added the last part. I know your feelings about kale, Big O, so I'm not surprised that you didn't exactly go for it.
I had a choice last night on the plane between curry chicken and spinach pasta. I went with the spinach pasta. So I don't want to hear all these people going, you don't eat vegetables. Yes, I do, but only when I'm at 38,000 feet and I have limited choices.
Yeah, not a bad idea.
So, all right, thanks, O. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, we'll get this broadcast system fixed up because it kind of fell apart when we arrived here yesterday. But it'll be back on course tomorrow, so we'll then be back on radio quality.
No worries. And by the way, a bunch of the folks on the trip were very nice. Well, they were all very nice, but a lot of them were asking about you and very nice about you. And I, of course, straightened them out and told them what a problem you are.
I know you did, because after 59 years, well, you haven't been there 59, but I have, and did that last Thursday, my anniversary, 59 years of WGN.
How about that? Happy anniversary. Call me when you hit 75.
I'll do that.
We got to do this. Take this break, I should say, and then we're coming back with a couple of words before we get to Bill and Wendy next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Today in Trump, use your own initials. State Department blocked Gordon Sondland, the ambassador to the EU, who flew in to testify to Congress from testifying. Congress, the Democrats that control the House, are now saying they will use obstruction of function of Congress as another impeachment point to make and an article of impeachment, assuming that goes forward. And it certainly looks like it will. Bad, bad, bad poll numbers on that today for Trump. 58-38. In regards to the impeachment inquiry going forward, 58% of Americans say, yeah, Yeah, you definitely need to look into it. 38% say no. 49% of the country now says definitely impeach him and throw him out. So not so good. And Donald Trump is reacting accordingly this morning with some pretty harsh tweets. And then there's this, tweeted 19 minutes ago. Get your great T-shirts, Cops for Trump, at the MPDFederation.com website. Nice job, Minneapolis police officers. It's a plug for Trump T-shirts. You're a fearless leader, in control, got it going on. By the way, a judge granted a temporary stay on Trump being forced to release his tax returns to the court system in New York, in Manhattan specifically, which had asked for it. That stay is not likely to last, and that fight will continue. And blocking another subpoena and not showing up for another subpoena is just absolute refuting of what we do in this country, and that is follow the rule of law. You may not like it, but just because you're president doesn't mean you get to control it and tell people not to do it. And that, as much as anything, is why he should be kicked out of office. Can I talk to Bill and Wendy now, or do we need another break? This is it, right? We're good? Bill and Wendy are here. Hi, did you miss me?
Yeah, yes. Very much so.
Who are you again?
She said is true when she said that all we did was weep. That's very close to
oh,
the
it
truth.
Is?
Yeah.
Okay.
We just sat around and wept.
It doesn't seem as appropriately, I don't know what the word is because I have jet lag. A little punchy. Hey, did you hear the kids we had on for Kid of the Week today?
I did not. I'm sorry.
Three boys.
Yeah.
You know, I love little kids.
Yeah.
You're good with them.
Little kids. Thank you. Little kids.
You're like Art Linkletter.
Little kids are great, and then they grow into adults, and they just turn into us, and we don't need that. But three little boys, one of which is like the genius of their operation, who invented something, which is called what, Dave?
It's called Scoot Knees.
Scoot Knees. These are rollerblades for your knees. Now, picture a little boy. Runs as fast as he can. He's got rollerblades on his knees. Runs as fast as he can. Drops to his knees like a guy scoring a goal in an international soccer game that slides across the grass and goes flying down the hill as fast as he can.
That would be fun.
Right?
Yeah. Do they have adult sizes?
They're talking about it.
I would like to
They're talking
that.
About it for idiot grown men who think they can still do it.
I'll buy it the first day it's available.
Yeah.
We had a live demonstration on the air this morning.
Yeah.
Anthony, who just turned 11.
Yeah.
And his two business partners are 11 and 12.
Yeah. And just zooming down the hall in front of the Northwestern Medicine newsroom.
Yes.
Yeah. And he really did look like fun.
It does look like great. Fun.
And you have better balance when you're lower to the ground like that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Definitely.
And he actually showed the technique to UG where you close your knees and open your knees and close your like you know how you exercise your thighs.
Like you snowplow when you ski.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
how
yeah.
you stop.
Mm-hmm.
So Scoot Knees, here's the upshot. I got 30 seconds for this because you know me, I'm on time.
Yeah.
But the fact is there was an adult who showed up at the Shark Tank-like thing where they rolled this out and won a competition with other kids. The adult stole the website they were going to register as a domain name and they're trying to get it back now. Scoot Knees.
It's horrible.
Scootknees.com. I guess they did get it back, but they had to
pay a
go
lot
to the
for
adult.
It. Oh, yeah. Man.
Stealing from kids. Yeah. I said to the parents, I said, listen, get that guy's name. I'll be happy to recognize him on the air. We got to go. What are you doing? 10 seconds.
Do you like pizza?
Yeah.
Do you like robots?
Yeah.
We got pizza robots.
Fantastic. I was hoping you'd say exactly that. It's the Bill and Wendy Show. It starts after the music for the news, which is now.